This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Fire in His Spirit by Ruby Dixon, narrated by Noel Bridges and Jeremy York. 1. Gwen.
Dragons,
Andrea murmurs from her cot across the room.
Did you ever think that when the world ended, it'd be because of dragons?
I roll over in my bed, unable to sleep either. We've shared this room together since we both left. Well, fled Fort Tulsa and settled here in what became Fort Shreveport. Andrea's been my best friend, my second in charge, and my sounding board. This isn't the first late night we've had discussing all kinds of things, from food rations to men to our lives in the before. It's certainly not the first time we've talked about dragons. Today it carries a lot more weight, though.
I thought it'd be a bomb of some kind, I admit to her, tucking my hands under my cheek as I stare into the darkness of our room. War. Heck, global warming making the oceans too hot. Something gradual.
Yeah, same. Never thought, hey, maybe this great big honking tear will open up in the sky and a bunch of bloodthirsty dragons will shoot out and flame the world. Gotta say that on my list of end-time scenarios, that wasn't even in the top 10.
I chuckle because what else can you do but laugh? The time for sobbing and railing over our fate is years past. Those who could adapt and survive did. The billions that couldn't, didn't.
Dragons. Andrea sighs again. I thought aliens were more likely than dragons. I mean, damn! How many science fiction movies were there about aliens? I can't think of any with freaking dragons, can you?
I can think of one, actually. But it's not why Andrea's getting chatty late at night. She's trying to distract me from the host of problems that have been piling onto Fort Shreveport in the last few days. The worst of all, they're problems that are all my fault. Despair threads through me and I want to bury my face into my pillow and hide from the world. But I can't, because I'm the mayor. I have to be the leader because no one else stepped up. I look over at the empty cot on the other side of the classroom, across from Andrea's and mine, tucked under the old blackboard. It's my sister's bed, and right now she's being held captive by nomads, all because I'm a terrible leader. Somewhere out in the night, Danielle is suffering, and there's nothing I can do about it. I can't leave because I'm needed here, even as I drive the damn place into the ground with my choices. Is this how the president felt when the dragons arrived, I wonder? That every choice made just makes things worse? That no matter how good your intentions, shit just keeps piling higher until you feel like screaming and never stopping?
Gwen, Andrea whispers.
I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking
about Daniela. It isn't your fault,
isn't it? I let the Brothers of Ash into the fort.
We've let everyone into the fort, she says reasonably. That's what we do. We're a refuge for others who are fleeing other forts. You didn't know they'd turn out to be assholes.
I didn't, but I should have known. When I saw a dozen bikers ride up without a single woman amongst them, I should have known. I should have listened to the little voice in the back of my head that was screaming that this was a bad idea. But I felt guilty for that voice. Just because they were a bunch of old grizzled white dudes didn't mean they were going to hurt anyone. Maybe they were just looking for shelter from a dragon attack. And Andrea was right, we'd always let everyone in. You can't pick and choose based on how people look.
I'm so stupid. So, so stupid. Maybe if I'd listened to that cautious little voice, no one would have gotten hurt. They wouldn't have robbed us, hurt some of the girls, blackmailed us into giving up all of our supplies. Maybe Danielle'd be safe in her bed instead of a captive of those jerks. Possibly dead, most likely raped.
Oh, God. All of that's my fault, too.
You did what you thought was best, Andrea tells me. But I don't believe her.
I'm the leader. I should know better. I should think with more caution because I'm supposed to protect everyone.
Thanks, I say softly because what else can I say? Andrea's going to try to cheer me up all night if I don't acknowledge her. She's a good friend and incredibly loyal. She'll never let me speak badly of myself even when I fuck up.
But it sounds like Amy wants to be in charge, How do you feel about that? Andy looks at me curiously.
Relieved,
I admit. And then we both go silent. I'm pretty sure we're both thinking the same thing. We're thinking about Amy's dragon. Amy herself is a sweet, mild-seeming blonde with a limp. She comes from Fort Dallas and arrived a day or two ago. That's not so unusual. We get people passing through all the time. What is unusual is that she came with a man. A man with golden skin, strange hair, and who kept his eyes covered. We didn't think anything of it at first. In the after, you run into a lot of weirdos. People cope in different ways. Some go crazy. Some pierce everything they can find. Some cover themselves with tattoos. We had one girl who passed through on the way to Fort Orleans and had cut her face thousands of times so she'd be scarred up and unattractive to anyone who wanted a woman. So yeah, we've seen a lot of weird. And at first, I thought he was just more weird showing up at the fort. I hated that the reason they'd arrived was because I'd made a pact with the Brothers of Ash, the biker nomads, that if we got any newcomers, we'd hand them over as our tithe. We'd set up a crappy plan to lure outsiders in. I hated the thought of doing so, but the nomads have Daniela. It's another one of those leadership problems where there's no right answer. Do I sell out total strangers to save my sister? Or do I let them go and let my sister die a horrible death at the hands of nomads? There's no winning. I chose Daniela and set a trap for Amy and her friend, Sam. Amy, however, saw through the trap I set. She confronted me and I folded like a deck of cards, admitting the truth. I expected her to attack me, to try to kill me for what I pulled. Part of me actually welcomed it because then the choice was out of my hands. Cowardly, I know, but I've been so desperate and afraid that at least it was an answer. Amy didn't attack, though. She very quietly and firmly took charge of the situation and introduced us to her dragon. Sam isn't a Sam at all. He isn't even human. He's a dragon, one of the golden males that seemingly has his mind together. It's a lot to take in, and I didn't believe it at first, despite the man's strange golden eyes, sharp teeth, and scaly-looking skin. Like I said, I've seen weird before. But then he shifted to dragon form, and then I believed. I think Andrea passed out when she saw him. I don't blame her. I nearly peed my pants in terror at the sight of him. And the only thing that stopped me was just how utterly unafraid Amy was. Fragile Amy, with her bad leg, was completely at ease as the big dragon ran his muzzle against her cheek. She said his name was Rast, not Sam, and that his people were Draconi, that they'd lost their minds when they came to this world through the rift, and only being mated to her has helped him. Her sister is bonded with a dragon too, and a friend of hers. The dragon that's decided to start attacking Fort Shreveport and had us under siege for the last week or so? Amy says he's looking for his mate. That he smells her in the fort, and when he finds her, he won't attack anymore. It's a lot to take in. I can't believe dragons turn into people, Andrea whispers, and it's clear we're thinking the same. That under there all this time, there's a person. I always thought of them like, I don't know. Scorpions or snakes, just really, really big, attacky. I didn't think of them as people. I know what you mean. I never thought of them as anything other than a mindless enemy. Now I can't help but wonder what's going on with them as they rampage over each city attacking it. They still do. They're like clockwork. No matter where there's a human settlement, they find us and attack. I thought the rest of our lives would be spent hiding and trying to scrape out a living. Amy's bond with her dragon shows me that there's hope for something else. That the dragons are people, too. And if we can just somehow talk to them, maybe we can coexist peacefully. He looks like Liam, Andrea says. The gold skin, the hair, always covered up. I think of Liam. I barely know the guy. Out of all the 43 people in Fort Shreveport, I know him the least. He showed up a few months ago, alone and without supplies. Said he was from a little fort out west that had been completely razed to the ground and was looking for a new home. He settled in and keeps to himself. Andrea's little brother Benny knows him better than anyone else, I think. I've talked to him a few times, but he's never pinged my radar as dangerous. Strange, yes. He's got that weird golden skin and sharp teeth, but again, it's the after. Weird is normal. I never thought of him as dangerous, though. Now, looking back, it's just another person that I've let into our fort without realizing how deadly they are. And I'm filled with shame. You think Liam...
I think so, Andrea says. I mean, I don't know for sure. I've never seen him without a hat on, so I don't know if he has the spikes in his hair like Sam does.
Rast, I correct softly. His name is Rast. Sam sounds far too human.
Right, Rast.
She shifts on the bed, looping her arms over her crossed legs and hugging them to her chest. But I saw him without sunglasses once, and his eyes were that weird solid color like Rast. He told me they were damaged when the rift opened. I thought maybe he'd just looked directly at the sun and, like, they changed. Or that he'd tattooed the whites of his eyes like I saw this one weird chick have done. I don't know. People do strange stuff to their bodies, so I thought that perhaps he'd had something done when he got his teeth sharpened. Now, of course, I think I'm an idiot. She huffs a laugh. I guess we'll make up any sort of excuse to think someone's safe, right? I sit up in bed, too, pulling my blankets around my thighs and facing her. Don't blame yourself. I wouldn't see someone weird-looking and automatically think dragon, either. He was just so normal, you know? I think of Amy's guy and how he just stands behind her and glowers at everyone. And Liam wasn't like that. He was quiet, but never scary. Never dragon-y. I still can't believe it. What does Benny say? Her mouth screws up as she thinks about her little brother. Benny hasn't seen him since Amy and her guy showed up.
Convenient, I point out.
Yeah, real convenient and kind of makes him look real, real guilty. She sighs, gazing off into space. In a way, I'm glad that Liam has left. One less problem for Fort Shreveport. God knows we have enough of them right now. Andrea looks distressed, though.
Will you miss him? I ask.
Huh? Oh, no. I just worry Benny's going to follow. She chews on her lip, frustrated, her gaze distant.
Not yet, I don't think.
I tell her, but the words are cold comfort. Benny's 16 and at the age where no one can tell him anything. He's a typical teenager, and with only Andrea to parent him, he tends to be trouble. If there's someone caught setting fires or sneaking out after hours, it's normally Benny. He's a shitty kid, but Andrea does the best she can. She's only a few years older than him, so it's hard for her to draw the line between sister and parental figure. And she's the only one he'll listen to. Even then, he doesn't listen all the time. Andrea's quiet for a long moment, and then glances at the sheet metal covering where the window in this room used to be, as if she can see the moonlight through it. Maybe he'll stay if Rast sticks around, for curiosity's sake.
Maybe, I say encouragingly.
Dragons, she says with a small shake of her head. Her expression grows wistful again and she looks at the window once more. I think that's why he's outside the city. He wants someone.
The dragon?
Of course, I immediately feel stupid for asking. It has to be the damn dragon. No one else is outside waiting. Except for the brothers of Ash. I know Andrea's not talking about them, though.
You think he's looking for Amy, too? Or Liam?
No. She shifts in the bed, her body all nervous energy. Her long, blonde braid swings over one shoulder and she crosses her legs, tucking them under the oversized construction company t-shirt she wears as a nightgown, and making a tent out of it. I think he's looking for someone else. A mate. I sit up slowly, because a dragon looking for a mate here in Fort Shreveport could be a real mess. The last thing we need is another problem.
Why do you think that?
You heard what Amy said. That her dragon smelled her and knew she was his mate. That has to be why this other's come out of nowhere and zoomed in on our fort. That has to be why he won't leave. He thinks he needs someone in here. A chill ripples up my arms, making the small hairs stand up. I don't know what scares me more, what she's saying or the eagerness in her voice. Amy thinks he's looking for someone here, but how would he get their scent? Let's be reasonable.
Are you kidding? He could get anyone's scent, Gwen. We all go out on scavenging runs or hunting. You, me, Christine, Cass, Jayla, Shauna, Daniela.
Benny? I add in, thinking hard. She's not wrong. Everyone goes in and out of the fort from time to time. Except for those too afraid to go out, like Kelly. Or who have a new baby, like Luz. Andrea snorts. The dragon's not interested in Benny.
How do you know?
Because he's a guy dragon. I have to laugh at her utter confidence.
What, you saw his junk hanging down when he flew overhead one day?
No, silly. She throws a pillow at my head and I dodge it easily. Because he's gold. Think about it. Rast is gold. Liam, gold. This dragon, gold. How come whenever we see a dragon, it's only ever gold or red? Red must be the chick dragons and gold is clearly the dudes.
Wow. She puts it like that and it makes perfect sense. I'll ask Amy about it in the morning, but clearly Andrea's been giving this a lot of thought. I feel guilty that I haven't put as much into it as she has, because this is good information to have, and it's logical, too. There's been so much on my plate lately, but I can't shake the shitty leader feeling that's taking over me again. I hate this. I never wanted to be leader in the first place, but I stepped up, and it's clear I'm awful at it. These people deserve someone better at this than me.
It could be after Benny, I argue. Might be a gay dragon.
I think a lot of this seems to be biological, she tells me with a shake of her head. It's definitely here for a girl.
You've given this a lot of thought, I tease her. She clasps her hands in front of her chest like she's praying, and for a moment, she looks completely, utterly radiant.
That's because I think he's here for me.
I stare at my friend, utterly shocked.
No.
Yes. She wiggles on the bed as excited as a kid at Christmas. I mean, think about it. Who else goes in and out of the city as often as I do?
A few people, I admit.
We all take our turns on patrol and on scavenging runs. I go out, Cass goes out. But Andrea's right. She does go out more than all the rest of us. Maybe I don't want to believe it because I can't lose Andrea, too. I'm barely coping with the fact that I look over and Daniela's bunk is empty. I don't know what I'll do if I lose my best friend in addition to my sister. I'll be completely and utterly lost.
I think it's me,
Andrea says again. And she has that look of hopeful rapture on her face. And I think I can save us, Gwen. It feels less about saving Fort Shreveport and more about Andrea. I get that, though. She's lonely. We all are. It's hard to trust anyone in the after, and as a woman, it's doubly hard. Everyone wants to use you or own you, sometimes both at once. It's impossible to trust, and there are very few men that come through Fort Shreveport. I've resigned myself to a life of solitude and serving the fort. But maybe Andrea wants something different. I think of Amy and the content, utterly happy look on her face. That's not someone who's abused or terrified of her dragon. That's someone who's loved and full of joy. It's easy to see why Andrea wants that.
Are you sure?
I ask, because I feel like I don't know what to think anymore. I'm clearly a terrible judge of people.
I think so,
Andrea tells me. And she gets out of bed and pulls on a pair of ratty jeans. I mean, there's no downside to this, Gwen. Think about it. I need to meet him, to say hello and introduce myself. If I can talk to him, I can get him to stop attacking. I can have him help protect us like Rast protects Amy, and... She sighs and straightens, the look on her face growing distant again. Have you ever seen anyone look at a girl the way Rast watches Amy?
No, I admit softly.
She wasn't the only one that noticed just how Rast watches his blonde friend. He looks at her like he wants to devour her whole and worship her both at the same time. It isn't just in his eyes, but the way he hovers protectively near her, touching her arm or her elbow as if making sure she needs anything. He's attentive and gentle and loving, three things I'd never associate with a dragon. But there's no denying that Rast is wildly in love with Amy and that the feeling has returned. This is going to sound corny and romantic, Andrea tells me as she slides a grubby sneaker on. But if someone's going to love me half as much as he loves her, I want that, Gwen. I want to know what that feels like. There's no downside to this, not really. I watch as she pulls her other sneaker on. You really want to give this a shot? I really do. Is that why you're getting dressed in the middle of the night? Please tell me you just want some fresh air. She immediately drops next to me on my bed, excitement gleaming in her eyes. This is my chance, Gwen. Don't you see? With Rast and Amy here, he's not going to come any closer. She said she's having Rast keep him away. That means if I'm going to meet him, I have to go to him and not the other way around. She grabs my hands. Please come with me. Why? Because I'm a bad judge of character and won't stop you? Andrea laughs and flings her arms around my neck. I swear she's giddy with the prospect of love. I've never seen her so damn excited. It's a little surprising, and I'm envious. What's it like to go through life with such hope instead of wondering what you've fucked up this day? I wish I knew. She hugs me tight and wiggles back and forth. You're not a bad judge of character. You just like to think everyone plays by the same rules you do, and then you're let down when no one does. Which makes me a bad judge of character, hello. She unwraps herself in my embrace and then flies across the room, rummaging through the trunk of her things. She finds a flashlight, shakes it, and the light comes on. You're not a bad judge of character. Stop saying that. I know you don't think you're a good leader, but it's not like anyone else stepped up to solve the problems, did they? They're happy to let you do it and then bitch at you when it doesn't turn out. I used to watch a TV show back in the before called Survivor. They separated all these people into tribes and made them vote each other off. I remember, I tell her. Vaguely. Everything from the before seems like a distant memory at this point. I get up to put my own shoes on because I might be a terrible judge of character, but I'm also her friend, and I'm not going to let her go out without someone to back her up. Yeah, well, I remember on that show that the smart ones never wanted to be the leader. They knew that the moment it was time to vote someone off, the leader was the one everyone pointed to. Great. So now I'm also not smart, I tease. She snorts and pulls a hoodie over her t-shirt, then flips the hood up. No, dummy. I'm just saying that you're the only one that stepped up, and no one else did because they were afraid of being the fall guy. You know it's a shitty job, but you did it anyhow because someone had to. That takes guts. If no one else is going to give you credit for it, I will. It's a thankless job, and it's going to be impossible to please everyone. You're going to make mistakes. That doesn't mean you're a bad person. You're doing the best with the hand you were dealt. I pause as I pull on my sweatpants. That might be the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. I'm emotional and weepy as she moves to my side. You're a good person, Andrea, I tell her softly. And you have no idea how much I appreciate you trying to cheer me up. She grabs my cheeks, pinching them as if I'm a 5-year-old and not almost 10 years older than her, and the action shoves her flashlight against my cheek. I'm just trying to make you realize that you're not a bad person. At least you tried. No one else here can say that. I don't know if tried but failed is exactly what you want on your resume. But I smile at her anyhow because she's trying really hard to cheer me up. I guess not. Now, come with me. I'll feel better meeting my dragon knowing that I have a friend at my side. Meeting her dragon? Yikes. So what's the plan here, Andrea? Slip past the night guard? They're going to want to know what we're doing. That's why I'm bringing the mayor with me. She beams. Like that will stop the questions? I still have to answer to people. Who's on guard tonight? Ava and Lou. I groan and shake my head, pulling away from her. Ava's got the biggest mouth in the settlement. If you want everyone up in your business, then by all means, let's go out the front gate when she's on guard. I move to my own trunk, dragging out the weapons stash I keep hidden. It's not much. Brass knuckles and an old can of pepper spray. But it'll buy us time. I set them down and then change into a hooded sweatshirt of my own and shove the items in the front pocket where my hands should go. Well? She hesitates and then clicks off her kinetic flashlight. So, I swore I wouldn't tell you this, but Benny showed me a secret way into the fort. I stare at her aghast. She's in charge of our security, and she's keeping this from me? What? Andrea grimaces and waves a hand, indicating I should be quiet. Not so loud. What hidden way in? I hiss at her, incredulous. There's a gap in the chain link near the old gymnasium. And when were you planning on telling me? She winces. Benny said you'd be upset. He said that Liam showed him. I clench my jaw, my nostrils flaring. I'm guessing that Benny and Liam made their own back way out of the settlement and Andrea's been protecting her brother. I want to be mad, but wouldn't I do the same for Daniela? So I just stare at her, frustrated. I'm sorry, okay? We'll weld it shut tomorrow at first light. Promise. She holds up her fingers in something that's either a Girl Scout promise or an alien hand sign from an old TV show. For a moment, she looks somber, and then she wiggles like a puppy. But since we have a way out... I groan. Fine, let's just get this over with. So we go out the back door. How do we find the dragon after that? Andrea grabs my hand in the darkness of our room and squeezes it hard. I'm pretty sure he's going to find us. That's kind of what I'm afraid of.
2. Vaughn. The scent of my female tickles at the edges of my consciousness. It teases me with what I cannot have. She is close, yet I cannot get to her. A hive of smelly, unwashed humans and their metal homes separates us. More than that, another Draconi male has moved into the territory, and that poses a problem. I watch the human hive from high above, on the roof of a large building downwind of the hive itself. When the breeze shifts, I simply move spots until I can smell her again. Her scent is always there, a delicate hint of perfection and femininity. I can smell her sweat, the musk on her skin, and I find myself wondering what her cunt would smell like, with my mouth buried in her folds. It would be the finest of scents, I imagine. But there is a problem. The male who has moved into the hive and walks among them on two legs. I can smell his scent overpowering everything else, and that of his mate. It is the only reason I allow him to get so close to where my mate hides. He has a female of his own. He is no threat to mine. That's right. I have my Amy, and I do not want yours. Rast's thoughts are reassuring and calm. I have told you this already. Has he? I do not remember. Nor do I remember broadcasting my thoughts for him to pick up, but my mind is a churning, muddy mess. All I know is that my mate is there and I cannot get to her. I lower my head, filtering in a deep breath of air and picking through the scents for hers. She is still there, hiding. I can tear apart their buildings, dig through the hive itself until I locate her scent and steal her for my own. You will not, Rast tells me. My mate is here, and you will not endanger her. This poses a problem. Normally I would claim such territory as mine and all in it. But this Rast has come in with his mate, and because he is there close to my mate, I cannot attack. But if I do not attack to defend my territory, it is not my territory. I have told you, Rast says again, that I will send your mate out to you once we have finished our business here. You cannot attack the human hive. Do not make me fight you. I will win. His thoughts are as strong as a bolt of lightning, and I know he would win. Like this, I am no good to anyone. I was strong once. Fierce. I wonder what my mate's cunt smells like. I lift my head, trying to pick such a scent from the air, but there is nothing. I could take the human hive apart, but there is another Draconi male there. I snarl at the realization, my muscles coiling in readiness, fire churning in my belly. Another dragon has moved into my territory. I have a mate, the male reminds me with a weary sigh. Who are you? I am Rast. I have told you this a dozen times already. Impatience bleeds through his thoughts. I will help you find your mate, but you must wait. I do not want you to endanger the humans here in the hive. You will take her, I snarl. I will not. I have a mate, Amy. Breathe my scent and know this to be true. I take a deep breath, and he speaks truly. He is mated, her scent mingling with his fires. I relax and settle down atop my perch again, waiting. Waiting for my mate. Her scent lingers faint in the air. I do not know what she looks like. Perhaps I have seen her and forgotten. I try to pick through the swirling mess of my thoughts, but they give me nothing but confusion. Human hive. Mate. Interloper. Mate. I wonder what her cunt smells like. There is an irritated sigh that leaks through my thoughts. Keep those images to yourself. I have a mate of my own and do not wish to hear about yours. You have a mate? Amy, pick up her scent. More irritation. I have told you this. All I want is mine, I tell him, putting ferocity into my thoughts. Let me hunt through the human hive. You can eat any of the humans I do not take as my own. No, my mate has business here. It will be yours when we are done. Give me a day. A day. It sounds reasonable. I settle back down again, ignoring the flash of annoyance in the strange Draconese thoughts. Rast. Yes. Rast. That is his name. I settle in to inhale my mate's scent and wonder what her cunt smells like. As I do, I see a faint light flash below, from the biggest of the human dwellings. And my mate's scent grows ever stronger.
3. Gwen. Panic has been slowly rising in my chest with every step we take outside the protective walls of Fort Shreveport. Andrea's all confidence as she shakes her flashlight every so often to turn it on, and the constant tack, 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 tack of it grates on my nerves. I want to pull out my pepper spray to hold it and reassure myself that I'm safe, but then I remind myself that the biggest problem out here is a fucking dragon, and pepper spray isn't going to do shit. That doesn't help my nerves any. We're out, I whisper to her. The suburban streets surrounding Fort Shreveport are eerily quiet. Once upon a time, the fort itself was a school in the suburbs. Now we've turned the school into a makeshift fortress, and the streets surrounding it have been abandoned. Litter covers weedy yards, and cars are parked scattershot on and off the roads. Some of the houses are intact, while others are little more than fire-gutted shells. It all screams abandonment, though, and that we shouldn't be here. In the distance, there's a square-topped water tower that went dry years ago. What's the plan now, Andrea? We should move out a bit farther, she tells me, but some of the confidence in her voice is wavering. It's like she's realizing how open and vulnerable we are out here. What are we going to do, run and hide in a house? The dragon can raise it to the ground with a swipe of a claw. What we should have done is told someone what we were planning, I point out. I'm always the nagging voice of reason, and sometimes I resent it. But we need to be cautious, too. If he kills us, no one knows we're out here. He's not going to kill us, Andrea says hurriedly, and shakes her flashlight again. Tack, 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 tack. We're just going to say hello,
Open up a line of communication, that's all.
You make it sound so simple,
I tell her wryly, as if he's not a dragon. I know that Amy trusts Rast implicitly, but there's still a wildness to him that makes me think he's not entirely tame. I also look at these streets and see houses that are newly burned to the ground mixed in with older ruins. Whatever Andrea thinks of this dragon, I'm not entirely sure we're on the same page as he is. He could kill us both without a second thought. Just as it has with every step taken outside the safety of Fort Shreveport, crippling fear clenches through me. I should have stopped her. This isn't like dropping in on an old friend. This is a dragon. A people-eating, fire-breathing, apocalypse-making dragon. If she's wrong, he's going to kill us without a second thought. I should have stopped her. But I know Andrea. She's stubborn. Once she gets an idea in her head, she won't shake it off. If I'd refused to go with her, she'd be out here on her own, alone. I failed Daniela. I don't want to fail Andrea, too. So even though I feel like this is a huge mistake, I have to go with her. I just hope she's right. Andrea pauses at the end of the street, standing in the middle of the road. The moon's out this night, bathing her in moonlight and making her blonde braid shimmer. I remain a few steps behind, crouching next to the side of a car. It's far too open right here. The survivor in me is terrified of wide open spaces and clear skies. Metal walls are safety. Concrete bunkers are safety. This is a beautiful night, but it's not safe. Don't stand out there, I warn her. My hand goes to my pepper spray after all, and I feel a little better pulling it out and readying it, just in case. I flick the safety off of it and clutch it close to my chest. You're making yourself a target. He doesn't want to kill us, she tells me, scanning the skies and standing out at the end of the street like a beacon. If he did, he could have torched the entire compound twice over. She's got a point. The school has been reinforced with metal sheeting on every available surface, and the walls are concrete. But it's still no match for a dragon's claws. Plus, we have carts of vegetables we wheel in and out to protect them from regular dragonfire attacks. If this one really wanted to fuck us over, he could lay siege to the fort and force us to keep our precious plants inside until they died. Then it'd be a choice between a fast death by dragon or a slow death by starvation. Andrea's right. He wants something. Still, we should have talked to Amy and Rast. Have them open a friendly dialogue with the dragon on our behalf. You're so cautious, she tells me, her voice teasing. Yeah, well, caution's kept you and me and everyone else in the fort alive. Oh, big sis, she teases, turning back to me and giving her flashlight another shake. Tack, 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 tack. Don't be scared. Big Sis is her jokey nickname for me. We look nothing alike. I'm biracial with thick, dark curls, and she's about as Nordic-looking as you can get. But she calls me her big sister because I take care of everyone. I know she's trying to put me at ease. It's totally not working either. I'm just saying, there are smarter ways to do this, and if you hadn't dragged me out of bed, maybe I'd be thinking clearly enough to suggest one. You have 10 minutes, and then we're going back. She makes a face at me, but nods, shaking her flashlight again before it can go out. Fine, fine. You're such a mom. I thought I was your big sis, I tease as she smirks over her shoulder at me. Sometimes you're both, you pain in the ass, Andrea says, flipping her braid over one shoulder before striding forward. Come on, let's see if we can't flesh out my dragon and say hello. He's a dragon, after all. He can't be hiding in too many places, can he? I know she's being flippant to relax me, and I get to my feet, ready to tell her such a thing when one of the shadows ahead shifts. I stop. Every hair on my body prickles and stands up. A pair of eyes, bigger than headlights, gleam in the darkness. I tell myself that I'm imagining things, that there's not enough room between those houses up ahead for a dragon to wedge himself between the crumbling walls and hide there. But when those gleaming eyes blink and the shadows shift again, I know it can't be anything but that. Andrea's oblivious. She glances over her shoulder at me again and gives her flashlight another shake when it flickers out. This piece of shit is useless. Doesn't need batteries, my ass. I don't suppose you brought a light with you, did you? Words die in my throat. I open my mouth, but nothing comes out but a squeak. The shadows shift again, and then a massive golden head emerges from the darkness. Moonlight glints off of scales, and my mouth goes dry as he slowly, silently comes into the light. I was expecting to see a dragon, but expectations and reality are two different things. It's the biggest damn creature I've ever seen in my life. I've glimpsed dragons in the skies before, of course, but always from a safe distance, and always while I was running for cover. I've never had a chance to really, truly look at one, and I'm not sure I want to now. But I can't stop staring. It looks like something out of the storybooks. The enormous head is wedge-shaped, narrowing down to a snout lined with sharp, glistening teeth. Each of those fangs has to be as big as my hand. Nostrils as big as, well, bowling balls. The mental image is so absurd that I want to laugh hysterically, but I don't have the breath. I don't dare even breathe as the swirling black and gold eyes blink and focus on Andrea, who's shaking that damn flashlight like I want to shake her right about now. I've never seen anything so overwhelming and menacing as the dragon. Every part of him seems unpleasant, from the bristling crown of horns at the apex of his head to the jagged teeth in his mouth. Even his golden scales seem brutally hard for all their beauty. He moves forward another slinking step, and there's no doubt in my mind that this is a predator. I know in this moment that we're going to die. Andrea looks over at me. Are you coming? Her words trail off and she goes pale. Gwen? I clutch my pepper spray in my hand and manage to wave at her, a squeak rising in my throat. Fuck. I wave again, this time making the movement urgent. She sways on her feet, her eyes get wide. Is he behind me? I nod, just once. Just a tiny movement of my chin. I don't think I can do more than that because he's staring in my direction again. Andrea blinks twice and then crumples to the ground. Her flashlight goes out. Fuck. The dragon slinks forward a step, then two. He moves closer to Andrea, lowering his head as he approaches my fallen friend. I hold my breath, waiting. Is he going to eat her? Snap her up like she's human kibble? Or is she right and he's going to recognize her as his girlfriend, like Rast did Amy? The dragon's nostrils flare and he moves his head ever so slightly, sniffing her. Then he looks up. His gaze flicks over me and his eyes are so dark they're almost black. Everything in me tightens at that dark, soulless face, and I realize belatedly that I'm panting despite not moving an inch. I'm still where I was a few moments ago, crouching next to an abandoned car. I can't make myself move. There's no way anything is going to work right now, except maybe my bladder, because it feels like it's ready to give out on me. The dragon looms over her for a moment, his gaze on me. Time feels like it's standing still. Very slowly, very deliberately, the dragon moves past Andrea and takes another step toward me. Gasping, terrified breath explodes from my lungs. I have to move. I have to move now. I lean heavily on the car, pushing to my feet even as the dragon sinuously moves toward me. I thought something so big would lumber through the streets like Godzilla, but his movements are graceful despite his enormous size, and that makes him all the deadlier. He's quiet, too. It occurs to me that no one is going to hear anything as he eats us. Oh, God. Oh, fucking God, this is bullshit. I stumble backward, rolling my body along the length of the car for support as I try to back away. The dragon's still approaching me, careful step by careful step, his tail flicking back and forth. It feels like he's a cat stalking a mouse, and I'm the mouse. My knees feel like water, and I can't push away from the car to run for it. I can't, and I won't, because I won't leave Andrea behind. Wake up! I mentally scream at her, even as the dragon heads toward me. Wake the fuck up! The dragon approaches, and I squeeze my eyes shut, gasping. I wonder what it's going to feel like to die. Is it going to hurt? Will someone still rescue Daniela? Take care of Fort Shreveport? Handle the Brothers of Ash?
The weight of responsibility feels almost as heavy as the realization that I'm going to die. I can't, I think with panic. I can't die. There's too many people depending on me. Hot breath fans over my face like a furnace blast. I suck in and go completely still. This is it. I brace myself, waiting for those sharp teeth to tear me apart, for my skin to be fried off my body. Nothing happens. I squeeze an eye open and the dragon runs his nose over my torso, inhaling my scent. I don't know what to do. Every nerve is locked up in terror. Even when he noses me between my thighs and inhales deeply, I can't find the strength to budge. I don't understand. The words run through my head over and over again. I don't understand. 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 Why am I not dead yet? Why is he just sniffing me? The dragon's big nose pushes against my chest and a sob escapes my throat. Just get it over with, I grit out. Fucking do it! He doesn't, though. Instead, the dragon buries his nose in my thick curls, as if drinking in their scent. I stand very still. My entire body is shaking with fear, but I still can't bring myself to run away. Gwen, a voice whispers off to the side. The dragon stills. His eyes flare from gold to black, and he inhales a deep breath that sounds terrifying. Andrea, I murmur back, not taking my gaze off the dragon that's inches away from my face. Run. I won't leave you, she says, inching into the edge of my vision. I'm sorry I passed out. I don't know what happened. Run, I tell her again. I'm going to be two steps behind you, I promise. But I hold up the pepper spray, my gaze locked with the dragon's. He watches me lift my hand and the canister, and then buries his nose in my hair again. Another rumbling growl starts in his throat and makes me break into a cold sweat. It's now or never. He's not attacking, I tell her, doing my best to remain perfectly still. Go, I'll follow. If I don't make it, I swallow hard. Watch over Daniela, okay? Gwen, no! Andrea sounds on the verge of tears. I'll get help. I'll go get Amy and rest. Whatever, I say, keeping my voice even as the dragon moves closer to me. Any closer and he's going to smother me against the hood of the car. Just go now, okay? I swear I'll be right behind. She hesitates, and then with another flip of her braid, races like a madwoman back toward the fort. The dragon stiffens and I reach out and swat his nose. Hey, over here. I'm terrified as the big head swings back toward me, the huge eyes focusing on my face and flaring to a bright gold. I don't know what that means other than I'm about to get eaten for sure, but he only waits, watching me closely. I edge away to the side by a single step and the growling increases. Fuck, I don't know what to do. There's a crash in the distance, like a rock being thrown into garbage cans. The dragon's head whips around even as the scent of smoke fills the air and fire plumes briefly from his nostrils. He stares after the sound, and as he does, I see Andrea out of the corner of my eye. She's behind a car a short distance away, throwing rocks to distract the dragon. It doesn't move, though. His eyes narrow and he swings his head back to me, the growling increasing. No time to wait. This is my only chance. I grab my pepper spray, raise it high, and spray him right in the face. The dragon flings himself backward, roaring with pain. There's a crash as the enormous body hits the concrete and then flails back and forth, scrubbing at his eyes. He thrashes on the ground in pain, and I'm so startled that I fall backwards onto my ass. Dragons can't be hurt by guns or fire or bombs, but pepper spray worked. Come on! Andrea shrieks from her hiding place nearby. Gwen! Numb, I scramble back to my feet and then race away to her side. Neither one of us stops until we get to the fence, and there's no careful lifting of the chain link to crawl under. We both fling ourselves through, and if the chain link tears our clothing and scratches our skin, it doesn't matter. We're alive. Somehow.
Vaughn. My eyes burn and I toss my head back and forth, trying to get rid of the stinging itch in my nose and burning at the edges of my eyes. I was so entranced with my mate that I did not pay attention to her movements, and she caught me unawares. There was no time to lower my protective third eyelid, and whatever she spat into my eyes burns and throbs. I take to the skies, into the air, and soaring upward, hunting for the nearest cloud. The vapor high up and the cool air helps the stinging end in a matter of moments, and all that's left is a bit of soreness. And amusement. My little mate has challenged me. Not only did she slap my muzzle, but she spat her poison in my eyes. While it is an unusual mating challenge, it does not matter. A challenge is a challenge, and I am pleased.
4. Gwen. I don't say anything to Andrea until we get back to our room. I'm so mad and terrified that I could spit, but I manage to keep my calm until we get back to our bedroom and shut the door quietly behind us. It's peaceful inside the school, the concrete walls muffling any nighttime noises there might be outside. Andrea gives me a woebegone look, but I ignore her, heading to the window. The glass was removed long ago, and metal has been set and welded into the window frame to provide protection from dragon fire. The metal is thin, though, and sometimes you can hear noises through it. I move as close as I can and listen, waiting to hear roaring or growling or something, anything that would indicate that the dragon followed us home. But there's nothing. It's completely quiet outside. So, that went well. Andrea gives a shaky laugh that turns into a sob. Fuck! I almost got us killed! I turn to look at her. She's got her hands over her face and sits on the edge of her bed, her shoulders slumped. She looks pitiful. And I feel like chastising her right now would be like kicking a puppy. But I can't just not say anything. I lick my lips and then push my hair back off my face, trying to calm myself. So, what happened back there? Andrea shakes her head, her hands still covering her face. I freaked out. I saw it and just lost it. I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was going to react like that. I don't know what I was expecting. I guess for him to be more civilized, like rest. Maybe to show up in human form. But I saw him and my brain just shut down. She takes a deep, shuddering breath. I saw him and thought we were dead. It's okay, I say softly. I did too. Anyone would panic being that close to a dragon. I touch my hair because I can still feel his hot breath there, and I know I'm going to have nightmares about it tonight. Of course, most people wouldn't try to go out and confront one, but I'm going to chalk it up to temporary insanity. A small hysterical laugh escapes her. Temporary insanity. Yeah. That sounds better than telling everyone that I thought a dragon was in love with me. Andrea's breath hitches and she sounds dangerously close to sobbing. We're not telling anyone, I say firmly. She looks up at me in surprise, her eyes and nose red. We're not? No. I'm supposed to be the voice of reason around here. I'm not telling anyone I ran off in the streets after a dragon. I cross my arms over my chest and pace in our room. No one has to know what we did. We won't say anything to Amy or Rast. We won't say anything to Cass or Lou or Benny or Daniela. I add because it feels awful and wrong not to include my missing sister. We're going to get her back, I tell myself firmly. That's all there is to it. There's enough going on in the fort without getting everyone all riled up about us paying a visit to a dragon. We just won't say anything at all. We won't? Andrea takes a shuddering breath. No one got hurt, right? I pace back and forth, back and forth. I wish I was brave enough to go across the school to where my doves are kept. Their cooing is so comforting that it relaxes me just to be around them. I think of their chicken wire cages and the warm, feathered gray bodies within and try to relax. Everything's okay, I tell Andrea. I figure if I keep saying it, maybe I'll eventually believe it too. I guess. She doesn't sound convinced. I'm not entirely sure I am either. But I'm also a big fan of fake it till you make it. Let's track this back.
Did you tell anyone else about your plan to go see a dragon?
No, she admits in a small voice.
Not Benny?
Never. He'd laugh at me.
Andrea sounds wounded at the thought, and I wonder how much tonight's disaster hurts her. She hasn't said, but I think she's really lonely. I'm starting to suspect she had a lot pinned on the idea of being a dragon's girlfriend, because she's not the same vivacious person she was when we left a short time ago. Something inside her seems defeated. Just another problem for me to fix tomorrow. Okay, if I'm the only one, I'm sure not going to tell anyone. I force a bright smile to my mouth. You tell Benny I found out about the gap in the fence and he has to fix it pronto or else he answers to me. That's another problem solved. I lost my pepper spray, but it was almost dried out anyhow. I mock dust my hands as if everything is handled. I don't see any more problems.
You don't?
Andrea sounds shocked and her jaw drops.
What about the dragon?
What about the dragon?
She gives me an incredulous look. Gwen, it's obvious I wasn't his mate. But the way he was looking at you, sniffing you... I shudder. Don't say it. You're his mate. You're the one he's looking for.
I fix my gaze on her and make it as stern as I possibly can. We are not telling anyone about this. Maybe by the time it leaks out, I'll figure out an answer to the problem. Or the dragon will lose interest and wander away. A girl can always hope. 5 days later. Gwen. I hold the mourning dove against my chest and listen to its soft coos, feeling its tiny body press against my hands. I pet the tiny head and stroke my fingers over the ring markings on his neck. I've raised these doves for the last year and a half. They trust me. They look at me eagerly and make delicate little thrums in their chests when it's time for seed. They let me touch them, pet them, and bind a note to their legs. They fly out and most return, and I tell myself it's because they love me and trust me. Now I wonder if I'm kidding myself. I wonder if they want freedom, but they're too scared and keep coming back for easy handouts. I wonder what they'd do if I stopped feeding them. Would they survive on their own? Or would they keep coming back until they starve to death? I worry that, like the people of Fort Shreveport, they're just more vulnerable lives that I've fucked up by touching them. It doesn't matter that I have the best intentions. The road to hell is paved with them, as the old saying goes. I sigh and stroke the tiny head, wishing there was a user's manual for the apocalypse. Behind me, Andrea speaks with Amy. I'm still reeling from our meeting with the Brothers of Ash. The bastards didn't bring Daniela, but Amy and Rast intimidated the hell out of them, and they're supposed to be bringing Daniela back tonight. Intimidated, ha. Rast ate someone right in front of us. I close my eyes and I can still see the spray of blood, the shocked looks on everyone's faces as the dragon attacked. Amy warned the guy not to touch her, but he didn't listen and Rast just ate him, like he was nothing. I know logically that the biker was a bad guy and that the world's better off without him and this is the best way to intimidate the other nomads into leaving us alone. That with that one chomp, Rast solved our bully problems. But I have to admit I'm not thinking about bullies or bikers or nomads when I think of Rast's actions. I think of the dragon waiting outside the city, the one that thinks I'm his mate. If I don't go to him soon, is he going to eat people until he gets his way? Am I going to stand in front of him, helpless, as he savages the people I'm supposed to be protecting? Why is it everything I touch just turns out worse than when I started? Andrea pulls up a metal chair and pats it, indicating that Amy should sit down. I know it smells like bird shit in here, Andrea says cheerfully, but it's private and that's hard to come by in a fort. Amy shuffles to the chair and sits down carefully. Her dragon's following the Brothers of Ash as they head back out onto the highway, an escort of sorts to ensure that they do as we ask. Part of me thinks that Amy sent him with them because she knows Andrea and I are a little freaked out about watching a dragon eat someone right in front of us. I touch my cheek, wondering if any of his blood splattered on me, and feel sick to my stomach. Is this what I have to look forward to if a dragon claims me? Dear God. I swallow hard and hug my dove to my chest. No, focus on the good, I tell myself, Dee will be home soon and safe. Whatever happened just now, it's worth it because Daniela will be brought home. Even so, I can't get the image of the dragon eating a man out of my mind.